Hey folks, quick disclaimer about the audio of this particular episode. My microphone was a little bit lower than Will's, but we figured that the imbalance in the volumes of the mics wouldn't make too much of a difference, but we apologize for that. And we were going to try to take care of whatever that buzz is underneath, but this was live and in another city, so we were adjusting to the environment and we had these technical difficulties. But we hope you liked the episode anyway. We had a great time at the Consumer Voice, and now on with the show.
This is episode 92 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, live at the National Consumer Voice Annual Conference.
The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith.
Hello there and welcome back. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are coming to you live this week from the annual Consumer Voice Conference being held in Alexandria, Virginia. We are actually coming to you from one of our hotel rooms. We got so much information over the course of this day or two that we wanted to go ahead and get everything recorded so that we didn't forget. But it's been great. There've been several sessions. Will actually spoke at a session.
Yeah, we just got finished with a presentation. This is my second year in a row attending the conference. It's my first year giving a presentation. I think it went well. We met a lot of interesting people. And it's always fun to come to this because, you know, having been in this arena of elder advocacy, whether a CNA or an attorney for 16, 17 years now, well, I have a lot in common with these people. And I think they're the salt of the earth. So it's always a good time to meet them, hear what they have to say. Find out what's going on in their state and exchange ideas.
Connect with people that have actually been on a podcast. We've seen Richard Mollett.
Melanie McNeil, of course, who's the Georgia head of the long-term care program.
Yeah, we went a long way to see Melanie from Georgia.
Robin Grant.
We saw Iris Gonzalez. A whole slew of guests that we've poached from the Consumer Voice Conference. Very happy to see them. Hang out, eat lunch, and learn and educate ourselves. I mean, we're attorneys, and we are in one realm of this industry, but it's always good to see how another component of the industry works. How it was seeing the CMS regulations, seeing the law change from the eyes of advocates, ombudsmen, the elder advocates. It's really fun. It's really interesting. It's very educational.
And it's interesting to find out things about your own state that you didn't know. I was actually on my way to the morning session, and a woman stopped me and said, "Hey, you're from Georgia," and she started telling me that Georgia is actually one of the best in the nation at incorporating music into treatment for Alzheimer's and dementia, and no idea. And I told her, I was like, I didn't realize that. I am so accustomed to dealing with the negative side of long-term care in Georgia that I'm not familiar with the positive things that we've done. So apparently we are good at incorporating music.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's just one of many, many golden nuggets that Will and I learned over the course of the conference. I think what would be beneficial for the listener out there is to we could go through a couple of the sessions, kind of give some quick recaps of the golden nuggets that we learned through the conference. But the conference actually started off with a panel discussion on a topic that we don't actually address very much in the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, but the regulations and the future of regulations of assisted living facilities. Now, here's something that I actually learned, which was interesting, is that there really, from a federal level, is no standard definition of what an assisted living facility is, for the most part. I mean, like, and that's one of the struggles that one of the panelists who works for the Government Accountability Office said, is that we had to start from a threshold from zero in terms of how do we even rate these things if we don't know what to call them. And then one panelist from Ohio talked about how they're called resident care facilities, or if they're smaller resident care facilities, class two. So it's just, I think that was the one of the first things that struck me about this panel about the future of regulating assisted living facilities, that we all have to agree just what the heck one is.
And it seemed to me that the what they were describing, the common attribute of it was that it was some place that housed senior citizens who were not quite in need of the same medical care that you would at a nursing home. However, that also seemed to be one of the problems, is that there were a couple of places that did require as much care as a nursing home, but they still called themselves
an assisted living facility. What was pointed out by the panelists was that you're crying that you don't have enough money. Why are you taking residents that require more care than you're supposed to be providing?
Yeah.
But what I thought was really interesting in this panel was that one of the panelists, Ann Hopewell, who is with the Government Accountability
Office, GAO.
The GAO. And she was talking about this long-term study that was conducted on assisted living facilities, which again, like I said, started off with what we define them as.
Yeah.
And what they found out, and really, is that they need to be regulated because there are no regulations right now, and there needs to be uniformity of actually how they're regulated. That was the big takeaway was, well, they need oversight from a general standpoint. But
so it's basically the case that assisted living facilities, whatever these may actually be, are in some ways in the same place that nursing homes were before the 1987 Nursing Home Reform Act.
That's right.
So it's just a free-for-all, wild, wild west, one flew over the cuckoo's nest, who knows what's going on.
And so some of the stats that she provided, number one is that 48 states, through Medicaid, 48 states are provided funding for assisted living facilities, which equates to $10 billion for 330,000 residents, whose ranges of services vary from state to state.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, the point that she was trying to stress was that there's no uniformity in the surveys of these places, and there really is no regulations for the surveys. So she's, one of the stats that she provided was that 23 states do not at all investigate critical incidents, and then 26 states could. One of the stats that she provided was that 23 states did not investigate critical incidents. And again, some of the states did not have a proper definition or didn't have a good understanding of what a critical incident was.
And so, I mean, you got to think about that. In a nursing home, when a critical incident, let's say, according to the regulations, is a violation of one of the F tags that could cause immediate jeopardy, right? It's something that's very serious, like a failure to correctly pass out the right medicine. The state surveyors know exactly what they're going to do there. Here, they're not even sure what the remedy is. They're not sure what the definitions are, and they don't even report it. So you could have somebody in an assisted living facility making a serious mistake, like passing out the wrong medicine, or having the medicine set up in a way where it's likely to get improperly passed out, and they're not even reporting that. They don't even know what they're doing. So it's, like I said, again, it's kind of the Wild West with these places.
That's right. And so at the end of the day, the GAO provided this information to Congress with three recommendations. Number one is that the industry needs guidance,
mm-hmm.
they need standards, and they need to have states able to provide the accurate data for those standards to enforce it correctly.
Which, you know, Congress still hasn't acted on yet. And I know that they just recently provided this. How long ago was this? A year?
Yeah.
A year or so? It doesn't matter if it was 5 years ago. It's still, like we were talking to somebody in our presentation, do you think that Congress is going to start looking out for the elderly anytime soon? I'm always skeptical. I don't know why it is. It's not a partisan issue. Democrats and Republicans both really fail the elderly somehow, and that's just a shame.
That's right, and so and that seemed to be the theme of the day in some of these discussions. But
yeah,
so that was one of the first presentations that we were.
That was right after the welcome ceremony. Everybody was in the main ballroom.
That's right. And so a little bit later on in the day, we had a update on CMS regulations and the federal regulations regarding nursing homes. And Robin Grant, again, did a very good job of explaining what was
always,
going on.
Always, always great to hear from her.
Yeah, exactly. So it looks like...
go ahead. We're going to talk about the other presentations we went to. You saw one that was presented by an attorney.
Yeah, so... It was basically 20 years. The title of the presentation was 20 Years of Lessons Learned by a Nursing Home Abuse Attorney. It was done by Joe Musso, an attorney nearby.
Alexandria, Virginia.
Who's been doing nursing home abuse litigation for the past 20 years. And it was fantastic. And as a matter of fact, spoiler alert, that presentation was actually recorded. And he, you know,
Graciously
allowed us to put that on the podcast. And so I think in terms of the lineup and of the podcast, I think we're going to roll that out.
Yeah.
It'll probably be in January. I think it's the second week of January we'll have that published. But he talks all about what families of loved ones and residents, I'm sorry, families of residents that are in nursing homes, what they can do to help prevent abuse and neglect. But he did a fantastic job.
Excellent job.
Great job. I learned so much, so I won't go into anything of what I learned in that presentation because I want you guys to learn it first in January. But Will, where did you go when I was in there?
So I went to listen to Lindsay Heckler, who is an attorney for the Center for Elder Law and Justice in New York. Right, this is a state thing. New York is doing. New York has set up this organization, this Center for Elder Law and Justice, to start tackling a lot of the issues that require litigation against nursing homes. So you've got your state ombudsman who can go in there and say, "Hey, you shouldn't be doing this, or this is wrong," or I'm going to go call the state. And they're going to come down here and maybe assess a civil monetary penalty. And then you've got a state like New York that says, well, we need to increase the advocacy that we're doing because ombudsmen can only do so much. So they have this this Center for Elder Law and Justice that actually does litigation advocacy against these nursing homes. They may seek an injunction against nursing homes in the state for doing a particular thing that they think is harmful to residents. They may seek an order requiring the nursing homes in New York or a particular one to do something. So it's very interesting how different states are tackling this issue. And as a matter of fact, I'm probably going to have or try to have Lindsay on in the future and talk about that because...
Okay, we get Gene?
Gene, let's get a hold of Lindsay.
Let's get Lindsay.
Heckler.
Yeah, Lindsay Heckler, Gene.
I didn't get to make a joke to her about nobody heckling her during her presentation. Heckler.
No, I get it, but that's super, super obvious.
Still like a good dad.
I'm glad that didn't.
I like a good dad joke. Anyway, so it's interesting. That's one of the interesting things about coming to this conference because states are, you know, for the most part, autonomous. And there's 52 different entities. So there's 50 states, there's the District of Columbia, and then there's Puerto Rico. But it's always interesting to how these different states and entities tackle issues of long-term care advocacy. So that was very interesting. And then I got to see a little bit of Joe's, and it was very passionate, very good.
Yeah. And like I said, during lunchtime, there was a presentation by Robin Grant
yes.
and David Wright from CMS regarding what's going on in Congress regarding nursing home care.
There's
a couple of things that I want to take away from what Robin had said. Number one is that currently there is a rule under the Department of Labor, regulation on the Department of Labor, that individual staff members in nursing homes under the age of 18 cannot use power lifts on residents without supervision. And so there's now a proposed rule that's going to allow individuals under 18 that work at nursing homes to use these lifts without supervision, even though there was just a recent study that says that by and large, people this age cannot use these things appropriately. And I thought that's amazing that, you know, how the government can turn on a dime with regard to rolling back these safety regulations. And this is dealing with the safety of the worker.
Yeah. Really.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, because
it's an OSHA issue.
Yeah. Which I thought that's just amazing. But she wanted to let everybody know that comments on the proposed rule change are going to be due on November 26th. So if you're listening to this,
go to the Consumer Voice website, and they'll always have access to where you can go and post comments. For example, last year we all posted comments about the delay of the implementation of the new rules. They're supposed to come out in 2016, 2018, and 2019. They didn't, and so we all got to post comments there.
And then one of the other rollbacks that Robin mentioned was that currently, and this is actually one of the new regulations based on what happened in Hollywood, Florida in 2016, or 2017? 2017.
It was 2017 because at the last consumer conference that I went to, we actually got to hear and visit with
Debbie Wasserman
Schultz talk about it.
As a result of the tragedy that happened in Hollywood, Florida, the regulations were changed that there needed every nursing home needed to have an emergency preparedness program, which includes a plan, policies, procedures in place.
Yeah.
In case of something catastrophic like that.
Like backup generators. When a hurricane hits, they need to have backup generators, and they need to have a contingency plan for when the power goes out.
Right, and then training under those circumstances. And the current rule as it stands, that needs to be reviewed every year. Now the proposed rule is to make that, as far as the planning goes and the training, every 2 years. And the comments for that are due on November 19th. And I'll, if possible, Gene hopefully can put this up on the screen, but hopefully I'll have a link to where we can go. Because again, Consumer Voice is providing model language for its citizens to weigh in on those with their comments, weigh in on the proposed regulations. So those two things that just struck me is like, man, we're always fighting to keep from going backwards with these regulations, and it's
comments matter.
Comments do matter.
Comments. They got over 10,000 comments in 2015 about the proposed new regulations for 16 and beyond. I mean, it matters to them, and it tells Congress, it tells CMS, like, hey, this is something that people care about, we ought to do this, because they're using taxpayer money. So make your voice heard.
That's right. And so, Will, you also presented, quickly, what did you talk about?
I talked about one of the proposed rules from 2016, which has to do with banning pre-dispute mandatory arbitration clauses. And, it's something that we deal with all the time, because at the end of the day, we're trial attorneys. And we can't take a case to trial where it sees the light of day. I mean, because the greatest disinfectant for bad deeds is sunlight. And so on the cases that we take, we expose them to the public, and we expose them to that sunlight by taking them to a jury trial. We can't do that if there is a binding arbitration agreement. And a lot of these arbitration agreements are signed without any explanation, and many times the family doesn't even know what they're signing. I mean, you got to think, you're putting your mom in a nursing home. It's not something that you want to do. It's an extremely emotional situation. And they've got you signing all these different documents. You don't know what's what. Most of the time, I'd say the overwhelming majority of the time, people don't even realize that they've signed away their right to a jury trial.
That's right. If anybody is interested in either, if they were attended it, are either interested in listening to it again, or if you haven't been able to make it to the National Consumer Voice conference this year, we're actually going to have that on next week as an episode of the podcast, Will's presentation about arbitration clauses and nursing homes. So, but I think that from just a general standpoint, this is my first year going to the Consumer Voice Conference, and I've had a great time. I've met a lot of great people, and most especially I've learned a lot of new things about nursing home regulations, nursing home advocacy, or resident advocacy, the whole board, the whole thing. It's been fantastic, and I highly recommend if you're an advocate for residents of nursing homes and living facilities, then please check out the Consumer Voice. It's fantastic. And if you are... if you are an attendee to the Consumer Voice Conference and you're actually listening to this podcast for the first time because of it, let me give you a really quick education. So this podcast can actually be watched or listened to. We are available on YouTube. There's a YouTube channel dedicated to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. You can also go to nursinghomeabusepodcast.com and watch all the episodes. I think this was episode 92. So we've got 92 episodes. Our podcast is dedicated to educating families of residents of nursing homes. So we deal with all types of subjects that fall within that rubric. We talk about the signs of sepsis. We talk about the five things that you need to ask the resident's nurse. The whole thing. But those are the topics that we talk about. But if you can't watch us, you can also listen to the podcast, and the podcast is available. A new episode comes out every Monday morning. It's available on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Music, Pod Puppies, wherever you go to get your
podcast. Pod Hub, whatever they have.
We're there, and we would really encourage you to listen, share with your friends, review it, like it, hopefully like it. But that's a resource for you. Again, we have a lot of individuals that are on the board or are members.
And contact us and tell us your story if you've got something interesting. I mean, as far as we're concerned, you know, long-term care ombudsmen are just the backbone of
the
front line. I mean, you guys are the soldiers in this war. I mean, it could not be done without you guys. So if you've got stories you want to tell, if you've got ideas, let us know.
That's right. So, we want this podcast to be a resource for families that have loved ones in nursing homes. And we do that in part by the knowledge that you guys have.
Yeah.
So if you have a topic or have a story that you want featured on the podcast, let us know. We'd be happy to hear it. We're happy to put it on. But we're in the hotel room. We're about to jump back into the conference and learn a bit more, but we just wanted to stop and share this with you. And we thank you for listening. And with that, we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.